starting the call in just a few moments. If you'd like to send us a message tonight, ask a question, and we'll do our very best to answer it. Text it to 801-541-9181. That's 801-541-9181. Okay, here we go. Good evening and welcome to the Tuesday night celebration of life. It's great to have you with us. It's good to be back. Last week, with the 4th of July, we didn't meet on Tuesday night, and we had an opportunity to spend some time as a family on the 4th and through the rest of that week. It was just a wonderful experience to be together with family. It's good to be back with all of you tonight. Thank you. Part of what we do here is want to serve you. Some of you are on the telephone, and if you're on the telephone and you've got a question, we would love to field your question. I wish I could take everybody off of mute, but we've got a text service. You can call 1-800-541-9181, whether you're on the video or whether you're on the phone, 801-541-9181, and ask a question, and don't be shy. There are no foolish questions. I really am a better coach when I'm answering your questions than when I'm just lecturing. So please, if you've got a question, text it. If you happen to be on the video tonight, live video, and you've got your Ustream account, go to the chat room and just type us a message. Just let us know you're there. If nothing else, just say hi, and happy to answer any questions that you might have tonight. This is one of my favorite topics. What we're going to talk about tonight is what drove me to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and write till 8 o'clock in the morning for the better part of 4 years, so that I could communicate with you the principles that we're going to share tonight. Now, there are other principles in the book. There's the principles of the art of connection and physical creation, but this is about mental creation. This is the section we're on tonight. This is how we use our vivid visualization constructively, the way it was designed to be used, to manifest inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to challenges. If we're not using it this way, it's going to default to most likely a very negative and destructive place. And sadly, we're finding a great number of people having this challenge today. They've been blessed with the gift of vivid visualization. Many of them developed it as a child. They were in horrible circumstances, and their mind is where they went to escape. They spent a lot of time here with imaginary characters, if you will. And now as they're getting older, we're transitioning from escaping to some fantasy land as a child as a protection mechanism to escaping into the future when we're going to be rich and everything's wonderful. And it's just so destructive. It wasn't designed for that. I'll share with you tonight what it was designed for. But let us understand a basic principle. Here's the principle. Creation of our dreams occurs in two very different dimensions, interrelated, equally important, but different dimensions. First, we do create it in our mind. But we want to do it in a way that it manifests an inspired idea or an impression or a solution to a challenge, because that will ignite our passion. Then we go into the now, the here and now, and we begin the work of creation. And we're going to do that work passion-driven, which means we'll work without counting the cost or tracking the time. Well, whatever it takes to create that which we've so clearly seen. How exciting. However, if we don't use our mind constructively, we're not going to ignite passion. We're just going to create a series of frustrating experiences, and then faced with the work, which nobody gets to skip. It's just boring and mundane and repetitious and burdensome. I'm going to do my very best to detail this for you tonight. Some of you have been on this call before. We've listened to this particular principle. Yet many of us have still not chosen to discipline our minds constructively. And we will not create our dreams in reality till we do. Don't let that offend anyone. Don't let that push a systemic button of right, wrong, win, lose, life, death, yes, but I went to a seminar. It's okay. I don't need to be right about it. I just know you won't be able to create your dreams in tangible reality till we use our mind constructively. So it's really important that we understand how this whole thing works so that we can intentionally use it constructively. It's with all the love in the heart that I come to you with these principles tonight. I've spent way too much time with grown men crying, "Dave, I can almost touch it. I can almost taste it. Why can't I have it? What's wrong with me? Does God not love me? What's wrong with me?" I remember back when I was having my darkest night and I wanted God to rescue me. I needed to pay back $1 million in debt. I had learned how to write scripts, and then our whole world caved in, and what little we had coming in from our educational films dried up overnight. I remember being so desperate, I almost took my life. And when it all boiled down to the clarity of what was going on, I was asking for something that the universe, God, whatever name you want to give this power, would not give me. Not because it couldn't. It will never grant us something that would rob us of the very experience to stretch and grow and become the person who can handle the success. See, the objective is to become increasingly capable of handling ever-increasing levels of stress with ever-increasing levels of ease. You might want to write that down. Our objective is to handle ever-increasing levels of stress with ever-increasing levels of ease. In other words, success will happen in direct proportion to our ability to handle the stress associated with the success. Everyone I know who's successful does not live a life that's stress-free. They don't want to escape and avoid. They don't want a life that's less stressful or more comfortable. They're here to create something magnificent with their lives. They want to engage and embrace principles and connect and serve and create value everywhere they go. They're excited to be alive. They don't want to escape from it. They don't want to get away from it. Highly successful people aren't trying to escape. They're so excited to engage. They can't sleep fast enough to start doing the work the next day to create that which they've seen so clearly in their minds. How exciting is this? I don't want to sound angry because I'm not angry about it. I just want this to be clear. There is a whole group of people that want us to believe that we can somehow look up at the universe and say, "I'm worthy to receive. Give me my piece of the pie." When we focus on getting, on receiving, we shut the very source off that we can provide the blessing. When we show up wanting to lift and build others, when we show up wanting to connect and serve and create value, and we ask, "What can I create? How can I create that? How will that serve?" That plea gets answered. I remember crying in that darkest night. I longed to cry to the God of my youth, but the God of my youth will not hear my cry. I must change my God or change my cry. Almost ended it, learning a very simple lesson. I changed my cry. Og said it in Scroll 10. I don't ask for gold or garments. I don't ask for gold or garments. Or even opportunities equal to my, we could add, current ability. Instead, I seek to acquire additional ability equal to those new opportunities. This is a powerful thing. We're not calling on an innkeeper to bring us a meal or to provide us with love or gold or petty victories or fame or fortune. We're seeking to acquire ability to stretch and grow and become that person. And the beautiful thing is, when we're in this space, we get opportunities presented to us that are pretty darn exciting. They didn't just appear. They've always been here. We just couldn't see them until we were able to, till we had acquired the ability necessary to see the opportunity. This is how we create success in our life. We acquire ability, we see greater opportunity, and we act. How beautiful is this? So just knowing this piece is so important, because so many are struggling with relationships and jobs and businesses that are failing, all kinds of crazy things that are going on in people's lives. It's no wonder we'd like it to be at least easier for a day. Please let me have a day without this pressure. People say to me all the time, Dave, I'm not sure I can keep doing this. Then we need to be into creation very quickly. Because if we keep asking to be rescued, we're going to keep being disappointed. That simple. And it's not because God doesn't love you. It's just he would never rob you of that opportunity. He knows that if he gave it to you prematurely, it would crush you. Just crush you. You're not ready for it. Now I'm saying that to myself as I'm saying it to you. That's hard medicine. That's going to be tough to swallow. But that tells us where we want to be focusing, in our mental creation. So this is the place where we get the clear vision. We only get a clear vision that ignites our passion if our focus is on serving others. That's why we did Art of Connection first. When we truly want to serve another person, and we're asking for how we can better do that, that gets answered. When we're seeking ability so that we have greater opportunity, that request can be answered. And sometimes we get ability through adversity. Ooh. Do we ever look at it that way? I'm stretching here. I'm growing. This is going to prepare me for ever-increasing levels of success. So, gosh, I hope I didn't rattle anybody's cage by being so enthusiastic about this tonight. But I'm becoming increasingly vocal on this topic. So I'm watching so many seeking to be rescued who are just dying on the vine emotionally and spiritually and financially. It doesn't work that way. And when we want it to, we use our vivid visualization to go into the future, to a time when we have success. Our bills are paid off, or our mortgage is covered, or we have a certain amount of money in the bank, or a certain amount of money cash flowing each month. We go to that space, and then we begin imagining what it will be like then. Now, 97% of the people that we assess have thought processes that are so vivid that wherever they choose to go, wherever that is, if it's to the future, to a time when they're successful and they're living beyond it, the same brain chemistry, brain circuitry is occurring that would occur if they were actually there. The mind has created a new reality. Neuroscientists call it a mental construct. We've constructed a new reality in our mind. It's so real to the mind that we'll react physically. We'll have tears streaming down our cheeks. We're so elated. It's so exciting. We feel warm fuzzies all over our body from the norepinephrine being released in our body. Oh, it's glorious. Temporarily, it's an artificial form of joy. That's what norepinephrine is. It's just a drug, powerful drug. It's just an artificial sense of joy. We can become addicted to it. We create a dream board. Well, this is what I'd like to have in my life. And then we go spend time during the day in our dream board. It becomes a daily destination. We live in the house that's on the picture, the car that's there, the income, the plane, the trips, becomes our daily destination. Oh, this is so destructive. I've wept over this so many times. When I get off the phone and I just go, oh, dear God, help me to teach this in a way that I can help people relieve this pain. You see, when we go there and we create that non-negotiable mental monolith, that expectation, that concrete condition for happiness, that mental construct, the instant that life shows up differently, the body has no choice. The word is autonomic, something you can't stop. The body goes into an autonomic response to protect the visualization. Is that real to the mind? The body's protecting it. Releases chronic doses of cortisol. Cortisol is there to heal body wounds. It also consumes cells for its source of energy. It's destructive to the body. It destroys immune systems. It exacerbates diabetes. It causes hypertension. Adrenal fatigue, adrenal failure. The studies are voluminous. I think that's a word, isn't it? Volumes and volumes, voluminous. Yeah, they're just tremendous amount of studies about cortisol. Dan Kennedy, one of our coaches, said that, out of Florida, said that 95% of his geriatric patients, age 65 or older, had pathology, illness, as a direct result of the chronic release of cortisol during their lifetimes. Now, they either fantasized and had this autonomic response, or they spent a lot of time in fear and doubt. I have discovered over my lifetime, watching the tendencies in our own families and the struggles I've had to overcome, that there is a pattern in society in pessimistic thinking where we think about worst case scenarios, how bad it could be. We could lose our job, we could lose our house, we could be bankrupt, we could be homeless, and then it doesn't turn out that bad, and we get to go, that weird? We go to the worst case possible situation so that we can feel better when it doesn't turn out that bad. Oh, this is an amazing study. I get Pessimistic Thinking, great book. This is how pessimistic thinkers process. Are you a pessimistic thinker? Well, here's so you know. I used to be. I was trained well. My dad and I decided we got to break this pattern in this generation. Paraphrasing Mark Twain, he used to say, don't tell me worrying doesn't work. Everything I worry about never happens. It's an interesting way to live. But do you live that way? I remember doing an assessment on a friend in my office, and he had these very over-focused systemic thoughts, and he was a pessimistic thinker. And I said, what would your life be like if you stopped this? Stop this. And he said, I would cease to exist. That's pretty alarming. Cease to exist. So just pause for a moment with me tonight. Just reflect. Am I a pessimistic thinker? Is my initial reaction the best possible thing that could happen? Is my initial reaction, what could I create next? How could I handle that situation? Or is it the worst case? Am I thinking negatively and relieved when it's not so bad? This is probably one of the more common uses of vivid visualization in today's society. Many have given up on fantasy because they now realize, well, that's not going to work. Why should I waste my time there? I'm just going to spend my time in the dark dungeon of despair and discouragement. Well, the light of hope can't go there. And it's been my experience, God doesn't either. We have to come out of this place and make a different choice. So if we spend time in this dark dungeon of discouragement, and it feels lonely, it is lonely. Who wants to go down there with us? Sometimes we try to take our companions with us and our family with us. I get kicked in the shins if I'm not careful, because I get tired. Yeah. Ramona's laughing because it's funny. Well, it's not really funny. But we can all be in this space. The invitation tonight is to use this vivid visualization differently. Let's not spend time in fantasy. There is absolutely nothing good that can come out of it. Nothing. You can't have a fantasy big enough to ignite passion. Everybody got that? You can't have a fantasy big enough to ignite passion. Why? Because we're trying to skip the very thing for which passion is designed to help us do the work. We're skipping past the work to the time when we have the money, and we're imagining what it's going to be like then. We can't go big enough in fantasy to ignite passion, because the very desire to want ease, a life that's more comfortable, no more pain or stress or frustration, is absolutely in conflict with the laws of creation. Can't ignite passion. Your body's not built for it. What your body's built to do is release norepinephrine, give you that false sense of joy, and then when life shows up differently, smack you with the baseball bat of life, that autonomic response, the cortisol surge, the fear dendrites shutting down, your prefrontal cortex, your hippocampus being shut down, rendering you emotionally paralyzed. 10 minutes in fantasy, 10 minutes in catastrophe, 10 hours of impairment, while it bleeds off your system. Nothing good comes from it. Nothing ever good comes from it. However, if we choose to use our mind constructively, incredible gifts can come. So let's spend time on those for the rest of time this evening. Let's spend time on the good things. What are we supposed to do with it? Not all the good grief, Dave. We've heard enough about what we're doing that's not working. Well, it's just good to know. It's good to know what's happening. It's good to know why it's happening. Everybody get ready. If you're on the video, you can see my left hand is raised. This is our tomahawk. Just strike the air with me. Chop the air. Not going there today. Why is it my left hand? Because the dark dungeon of despair is over there on that left side. Fantasy's up there on the left side. Not going there today. I'm staying in creation. Break out your tomahawk with me. If you're on the phone, you're on the video, just say it out loud. Not going there today. I'm staying in creation. Everybody hear Ramona? She's right here with me. It's so fun. Woo-hoo. This is what we want to do. We want to consciously interrupt our natural tendency to fantasize and catastrophize and consciously choose a different option. Will this take some discipline? No question. Will this be a challenge at some times? Absolutely. I know in the last couple of years where we've been working on finalizing this book and get everything on the internet, there have been times when I've just been so overwhelmed, not going there today, I'm staying in creation. It's like my temples are bulging. It takes everything not to go there. Don't go there. 10 minutes, you ruin 10 hours. Why do it? Don't go there. Now we're going to stay in creation. First thing we want to talk about in creation is called mental rehearsal. Mental rehearsal is like fantasy. It's like fantasy. It's just as vivid. Except for we're not going there to escape. We're going there to be instructed. We don't want to avoid. We want clear direction. So we're going to the stage of our mind to an event in the future. And we want to visualize it as effortlessly as we did fantasy. Now, when we're doing this intentionally, it doesn't kind of unfold initially as easily as it does in fantasy. When we're in fantasy, we don't even have to be conscious. We don't need to have anybody telling us the color of the Ferrari or the tile temperature on our feet when we're walking through the veranda of our dream home or where the pool's positioned or the color of the drapes or whatever. It just all unfolds because we have this burning desire to escape. The desire drives the fantasy. Our desire for ease drives the fantasy, and our secret desires, when it's ease, I just want life to be easier. Oh, that is a powerful desire. Destructive, but powerful. It is the desire that drives the fantasy. Over here, it'll take us a little while to truly appreciate the new desire. The new desire. Because, and you'll know why again, why we went to Art of Connection first, taking this stuff out of our sack, putting it in our heart, showing up in the service of other people. Why are we doing that? Because our new desire, which is going to be so powerful, it's going to drive this visualization, is our desire to serve other people. Well, if we're still focused on us, self-deprecating dialogue, and we want to be understood, and we just want it easy, we can't, it won't work. It doesn't work. That that's why we taught the art of connection first, so we can start practicing focusing on other people and feeling the joy that comes when we're safe, create a safe place, walls come down, cooperation floods out, miracles begin to happen in our life. We can see the value in focusing on other people. Once we're experiencing that, it becomes easier to make that our desire, our true desire. I want to lift and build. I want to create value. I want to contribute. What can I create? How can I create that? How will that serve? Can you feel the energy? When that is coming from the fibers of our being, and we're in mental creation, as vivid as fantasy, future event, we'll get impressions. Things will unfold as naturally as turning the corner on that Ferrari and seeing this beautiful Pacific Coast Highway. Oh, wow. Over here? But it falls and go, wow, yeah. Wow, yeah. Over there, it released norepinephrine. It cemented that image in our mind, and when reality showed up differently, we got smacked by the baseball bat of life. Over here, we go, yeah, wow. That inspired idea, that impression, that solution to a problem that just came into our mind, which just unfolded. And it unfolds because our desire is to serve, and a partner, the power of the universe, I call God, opens our mind to a possibility. Just, what do you think of this? Wow, yeah. I was talking with a client last night, yesterday afternoon. And Monday night, he was going to be home, just he and his 16-year-old daughter. His wife and other children were gone for the evening at another event. And I said, what are you going to do special tonight? I said, let's mentally rehearse. So we mentally rehearsed. He says, I'm going to take a walk with the dog, with my daughter. And first I went, okay, that doesn't sound very interesting, because I just want to talk to her. I said, where are you going to go? He says, I want to go down by the river. There's a bench down there. We'll sit in that bench where we stick our toes right in the river and talk. Then I got a vision. I said, I just saw something taped underneath the bench. What is it? He knew exactly what it was. He said, it's a card congratulating her for an incredible school year with a couple $100 in it. He says, I've been wanting to do this for a long time. And he's getting excited. The evening was going to be just walk the dog, come home, have dinner, watch TV. And all of a sudden, he's got a vision. The vision prompts him. It lights up. If he were wired to a functional MRI, at the moment he saw that vision, parts of his brain would have lit up that are normally dormant in a human being. That's how it's supposed to work. Not the release of norepinephrine, but the release of this brain, this lighting up, this passion release. We just got passion released in our body. Oh, my goodness. I can't wait to Arnold's coaching session because I know what he did after we got done. He went down and bought a card, put $200 in it, put tape on it, went down there, sat on the bench, kind of looked around, and taped it underneath there. After he talked to his daughter and made sure she wanted to do the walk. And then he walked down there with her, and somewhere in the conversation, he talked about something being under the bench. And she looks for it. Can you imagine this? She opens it up. A father who goes to this kind of an extent to create that kind of a memory, do you think she'll ever forget that? Would have never happened if we had not mentally rehearsed that evening. How many things are not happening in your life because this vivid visualization is used in fantasy or catastrophe? It's scary to imagine. What's exciting is when you actually use it and you go into the future, to a birthday party, to a family event, to a business meeting, and you're just there and you just let it unfold and you learn about things you should bring and things you could say differently. You're taught things about the people that are going to be there. You just have this revelatory kind of a moment, this inspired idea, impression, and solution comes to your mind. Part of your brain lights up. And you go take action. I can imagine last night he's sitting at home lying in bed at the end of the night going, oh my goodness, if I'd have used my mind destructively, this would not have happened. That's what we want to have, is more of those moments. More of those moments when we have the realization that I just created something exceptional in my life that would not be here had I have not used my mind constructively. Now, we can use lots of examples. A client going to visit her sister, really bad blood, flying back east to spend a weekend with her. And so we mentally rehearsed. She's closing the car. She's walking up to her sister's office where she's going to pick her up, and they're going to drive for 3 hours to a beach. I said, I saw you pick up something in your car. What was it? She says, was it flowers? I said, I don't know. What was it? She says, it was chocolate. Chocolate? Oh, tell me about the chocolate. She says, my sister loves chocolate. And she says, you know what? I only live a few blocks from Ghirardelli Square here in San Francisco. I'll go by on my way to the airport, leave a few minutes early, get the perfect chocolate for her and take her. She did that. She shows up to see her sister, hands her this hand-selected Ghirardelli chocolate. You imagine what this does for her sister? Oh, my goodness. Never would have happened had she have not mentally rehearsed. In the book, I talk about a challenging situation the client was facing. She'd been the sponsor, if you will, of a large charity event. And the charity and the hotel never discussed who was paying for the open bar tab. That could be expensive. And now they're in a dispute. And she's being invited to a meeting with two of them and one other person to work out the details, and she's feeling like they're all pointing at her and blaming her. She should have handled it. She should have known better. She should have worked this out. And she's angry because she busted her tukey to make this thing happen, and now it's all her fault that the bar tab's not being paid properly, and she's ready to go in and blast these people with a double-barrel shotgun. Ever been there? So we mentally rehearsed the meeting. I said, I can see you walking into the building. Can you see yourself on the street walking in the building? She said, yeah. I said, you're carrying a brown paper sack. What's in it? She said, I don't know. So I told her what I saw in it. I said, I see three light switches. What are we going to do with light switches? Well, when you get up there, you'll hand each person a light switch, and you'll say, I'm on the hot seat. If you don't like what I'm saying, flip the switch and fry me. She laughed. She thought that was funny. She says, no, what I see is tomatoes. See, it needs to be our vision. She says, I see tomatoes. What are you going to do with the tomatoes? I'm going to hand each person a tomato. They don't like what I'm saying. Throw it at me. Then we started mentally rehearsing the meeting. We sat at the meeting. We just closed our eyes for a minute. We turned to the first person on the left. I said, what do you know about this person? Tell me everything you know. Then share with me what might be going on in their life that day. What could be happening? If they have children or had an argument with a spouse, what could be going on? Do it the next one, the next one. As we went around the room and got to know more and more about what's happening, each time she became less and less agitated and more at peace. She had a clear vision, not of exactly what was going to happen, but how she was going to show up in the meeting differently because she was now prepared to do so. Next coaching session, she reports that she goes to the grocery store, she buys the three tomatoes, puts them in a brown sack, and takes them. When she shows up at the meeting, she sets them by the side of her chair. She turns to the first person, steps in their world, second, third. All the walls were down. Cooperation, productivity flooded out. They came with a solution. Everybody was happy. No harm, no foul. And I said, would you do it with the tomatoes? Should have took them home and ate them. And I said, well, was that not an accurate mental rehearsal? I mean, we saw tomatoes. Is it like you weren't inspired because you didn't use them? It's very clear. They created the humor that put her at ease. They served an extremely valuable role. She didn't use them exactly as she'd seen them, but they nonetheless played a valuable role. Our mental rehearsals are so powerful. I'll give you one more. A client is mentally rehearsing an ad. He wants to put an ad on online to attract some of the customers. So he's mentally rehearsing the kind of person he would like to talk to. And he gets carried away in this vivid visualization, just like you can with your cars and houses and dreams and all those other things. He gets carried away, and he's a fly on the wall in his living room, and there's a man pacing the floor. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. The person has just lost their job. Wife doesn't know. He's destitute. He's worried because he won't be able to pay their bills. He's got tears streaming down his cheeks. Wife walks in. He turns away so she doesn't see him crying, coming to bed. Yes, in a few minutes. She leaves. He feels impressed to go over to the computer, goes to the online site where he's going to place the ad, and the guy sees an ad. He gets him excited. Now the guy gets interrupted by life. Probably one of his kids or something came running. Dad! Billy's hitting me with a baseball bat. Or whatever it was, it pulled him out of it. He's going, oh no, what did the ad say? I didn't get to see what the ad said. So he started using the next piece. It's called exploration. Exploration is considering possibilities without making a tangible commitment. This will mitigate, it will lessen mistakes. So he writes an ad. That won't work. Etch-a-sketch. Writes another one. Well, that won't work. Etch-a-sketch. Writes another one. That won't work. Writes another one. That won't work. Writes another one. And eventually he goes, ooh, that one would speak to that. I've seen him in my mind. That would work for him. And that's the ad he placed. He'd sent me an email. I followed through with a phone call. He was so excited. He had 35 qualified leads in like 2 hours. Never happened before. Not to that extent. He was blown away by the process. He mentally rehearsed for a few minutes the kind of person he'd like to meet. Then he explores possibilities for an ad that will speak to them, much like he could have viewed the possibilities for decorating a room or remodeling a bathroom. Considering possibilities without making tangible commitments till, boom, the bell rings. Executes. Chances of success much, much higher. Exploration. The third one is called inspiration. Inspiration. Inspiration is simply based on the fact that we have all those experiences. Remember, we're dragging around the sack, and now they're in our heart. So everything that's happened up to this point in our life is now up here as a reference point to better understand what someone is going through. We're so prepared now, and all we're saying is, start the morning. If there's anyone I can serve, based on all of this that's in my heart, if there's anyone I can serve, uniquely me, put them on my path, and I will serve them. Everybody have that? I want you to try this week. Now, if you've heard this before, I tried that when Dave said that last time. The question is, are we doing it every day? We should be doing this every day. Plug into the planet. If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them, and watch that person step into your world. And then you get to serve them. I wonder if that's the person. I wonder if that's the person. Ooh, I need to do something. It could be a little thing. It could be something absolutely profound and life-saving. You don't know. But you'll want to show up. If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path, and I will serve them. So these are three very relatively easy ways to use our mind constructively, this vivid visualization. I'm vividly mentally rehearsing something in the future, a person I'd like to meet, a meeting I'm going to have, an event I'm doing with the family, and I'm going there with a desire to create something really fun, important, not a circus event, just something that I might have missed if I weren't focused. And we get this inspired idea, impression, solution to a challenge, and we act. And we create something that would not have happened. It doesn't take too many of these before we'll lose interest in that over there, the fantasy part at least. Now that discouragement part, that's a hard one to break. That discouragement, it's like a giant magnet, just it's like I'm made out of metal. It just wants to pull us right in. I've often said it's like driving down a road. The road starts tipping to the left, and then you hit a nice spot. Whew. Just wants to take you right into the dungeon of despair. It takes a little extra effort. Not going there today. I'm staying in creation. I'm going to focus on an event and be totally present in my mind with that event and just let it unfold. I'm going to experience it, and I'm going to learn from what I experience. There's going to be purpose in this process. Or here it's just escaping, just avoiding, just having this norepinephrine rush. Over here, there's purpose. There's a purpose. I'm going to explore possibilities without making tangible commitments. Now, many of you do this all the time. I'd like to set my furniture up this way. You kind of think through it before you start moving stuff around, and then you try it. You can lessen energy and wasted time and mistakes by exploring. There's anyone I can serve. Based on what I've taken out of my sack and put in my heart, there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path, and I'll serve them. Beautiful piece. Now, there's a fourth one. It'll be the last one we cover tonight. Next week, we're going to talk about goal setting, planning and goal setting. We'll do another goal setting clinic next Tuesday night. You want to come prepared. You want to come prepared next week to take on your relationships, take on your businesses. If you're an employee, to take on falling back in love with your job, because it takes so much energy to go half speed. Release your energy. Be there for you. Meet yourself. Unleash your genius. We're going to talk about those things next week. The last one tonight is called problem solving. It's been a while since I've explained this to everyone. Systemic thoughts, for most of you, are obsessive. Constantly obsessively thinking. So we got stewing on. So, here we are, thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking. Now, one of the unique aspects of a systemic thought is going to process dualistically. All or nothing, right or wrong, win or lose. If it finds something that's broken, it, not always us, but it has to fix it. That's why we're sometimes fixing everybody, giving everybody advice, solving all their problems. We just have an overactive systemic thought. It can see it so clearly, and the world's now on tilt because all or nothing gets fixed or the world's over. It's just the topping on a pizza, but it doesn't know that. It's just all or nothing, right or wrong, win or lose, life or death. Thanks for chuckling, hon. We get to use this to our advantage in problem solving. We give a systemic thought a problem. Something that's broken that needs to be fixed, and it won't stop thinking about it till it comes up with a solution. Only thing is, we're going to want to give it problems that are solvable. We may not know the answer, but if your house is worth $200,000 and your mortgage is $300,000, you're figuring out how to raise the value, that may not be solvable in today's marketplace. That's not something you want to stew over. But if you're trying to find a creative way to market it, short sell it, come up with ideas, yeah, those are solvable. So turn your mind loose. In the book, I talk about climbing out of this dungeon, standing on the wall and taking flight, and go out there amongst the hills and valleys of opportunity, knowing there's an answer. You don't know where it is, but just keep looking for it. Stop, explore, consider. One day you wake up and you go, oh, there it is. There's the answer. You all are an absolute natural problem solvers. You probably have used it more to fix people. That's not healthy. But to take a problem and solve it, that could be very healthy. So turn it loose on a problem intentionally. Lie in bed at night and go, here's the dilemma I'm facing. I don't know how to solve this. Be at peace with it. Turn your mind loose. It'll turn on it. Might wake you up in the middle of the night with the answer. And watch in a couple of days what you've discovered by just intentionally turning it loose to solve a problem. This is taking advantage of its dualism, its dualistic processing. So those are our first four. Not going there today. Jump into mental creation. Jump into exploration. Inspiration. Start playing names in your mind. Think of people that are in your business or church or community or past schooling. Think about people, relatives, until one speaks to you. And trust it. Act on it. Call them. See how they're doing. Don't be surprised if they say, oh, I was just thinking about you. Or how did you know I needed you? Don't be surprised. This is being plugged into the planet. This is using your gift to get inspiration, inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to challenges. Here specifically about how you could serve another person. It's the purest form of mental creation. Then problem solving. Using that dualistic all or nothing, right or wrong, to turn a problem loose, to come up with a solution. Turn it loose. Now, next week we're going to take on goal setting. If you get a chance, you've got a copy of the book, read this section. If you've got your studio, go to this section in the studio, it's quality number 2, and go into the goal setting section and just brief up on it. Get ready for it. And come prepared next week to actually do this. We talk about it. Oh, we should do it. I should have a plan. Well, let's actually create one. I'll show you how to do it where you vividly visualize and see something that ignites your passion. And then we do the millimeters between here and there. We actually do the work of creation, passion, vision, and mission-driven. It's a great way to live in your business, in your relationships, etc. So come back prepared for this next Tuesday. I'm so excited to share these principles with you. I hope tonight, in some way, we can just stop and say, wow, I may have heard this 10 times, but I'm finally ready to make this shift, to stop requiring a power beyond me to rescue me. It won't rescue, but it'll partner. If you'll focus on serving others, and as you step into their world and serve them, take down their walls, you're the beneficiary ultimately. It's a beautiful concept. Principle, I should say. Not a concept, but principle. It's a beautiful way to live. Let us begin shifting our secret desire from ease and more comfort to engagement, to creation, to connection, to contribution. And have that start burning in our souls. Og wrote in scroll number 7, there's a flame that burns, we start out within me. Within me burns a flame, passed down from generations uncounted, and its heat is a constant irritation to my soul to be better than I am, and I will be. I will fan these flames of dissatisfaction and proclaim my uniqueness to the world. You are built to do this. You're built, not going there today. I'm staying in creation and picking one of these 4. You'll learn the 5th one next week. And staying there till you get an inspired idea, then acting on it. And seeing what you can create intentionally. May you have a glorious week. Thanks for being with us tonight. Oh, Ramona's got a question for me. Oh, which scroll? We're going to study in preparation for this next week. I'd like you to study scroll number 6. Scroll number 6. I'll be the master of my emotions. Og says, weak is he who allows his thoughts, over there on the left, to control his actions. Strong is he who forces, not going today, staying in creation, who forces his actions to control his thoughts. May we take this action this week and let this scroll support you. He says, there'll be times when I must constantly struggle against forces that would tear me down. There will be days. Guaranteed. This is part of the deal. But the more we can stay not going there today and still here in creation, the quicker the very things we desire can be created. Well, thanks, everybody. We'll be back with you next Tuesday night. Thanks. Good night.